Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 170. So everyone's talking about time between cycles and TRT breaks by Europharma. So this is going to be a really interesting one. We got a lot to cover on the pre-show. We had like eight topics that we wanted to talk about. Well, we've condensed them into five solid topics. And we're going to talk about many different things, including we're going to talk about cycling versus TRT explanation, what that even means. Time between cycles, meaning should we take time off TRT? Best Europharma options for different situations and Europharma quality. But first, I'm going to bring in Mobster really quick. I just want to remind everyone, we are on Apple. We are on Spotify. If you want to keep this podcast going, you've got to support the podcast, not just by listening, but also by putting up a review, by giving us a rating, by subscribing, by liking, all that stuff so that the algorithms can pick us up. Go ahead, Mobster.
Yeah, listen, something that Steve said in recent shows when we've been talking about why we do this podcast and how you can help us is that we are covering ground that is kind of informative and arguably, Steve, like an encyclopedia when it comes to these things versus just doing popular topics that give us traction and make for great clickbait titles or whatever, as you see on YouTube videos for just about any subject. We want you to share this information because we think that the information that we're putting out there on these shows is the kind that is actually useful to you when you go to the gym, when you choose to use PEDs. It's not that kind of bro science, my buddy said kind of stuff. It's out there and it's been properly discussed in hopefully a helpful and useful way. So we understand how the algorithm works, that we need you to boost us in that particular way so that you can know that you're helping other people like yourself, the listener, get great information that's useful on a daily basis and hopefully for the whole length of time that you consider to train, decide to do a cycle, what products you might use and so on and so forth, Steve. So, yeah, absolutely share, love, subscribe. But make sure you're doing something that because you think this is a great podcast and that we're putting out great, useful information on a daily basis.
So let's start off with the first one, cycling versus TRT explanation. So I'm going to start us off a little bit, and I'll bring in Mobster pretty quick. But at the end of the day, cycling steroids would be you go on anabolic steroids for a certain amount of weeks. So in this case, you'd be going on Europharma products X amount of weeks. It could be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks typically. The average cycle, especially with injectables, is typically 10 to 12 weeks. Some people go 14, 16 weeks. Some people even go 20 or 22 weeks, but that's very rare. If you're doing an oral-only cycle, a lot of times people go 4, 5, 6 weeks, maybe up to 7, 8 weeks. And then you're going to cycle them. So you're going to go on and you're going to go off. Now, how long do you go off? That is, again, varied depending on the person. If you want to recover properly, it's always good to come off 2 times the amount of time you were on. So if you did an 8 week cycle, it's good to come off for 16 weeks to give your body a chance, your HPTA a chance to bounce back. Now, when it comes to TRT, that's testosterone replacement therapy. And in that case, you're just staying on. You are staying on a therapeutic dose of testosterone, which is somewhere between 80, 90 milligrams up to 120, 125 milligrams. Now, there's different types of TRT. There's also bodybuilder TRT. There's sports TRT, which are a higher dose. And there's also more aggressive types of TRT where guys are going 150, 175, 200 milligrams a week. So there's different types within these different definitions. So that's a rough, you know, explanation of what both of those mean.
We could do a whole show on what defines these things, Steve, and it's so debatable. But pretty much for me, as Steve said, it's a length of time, oral or injectable, or combinations thereof for a set period of time. And then ideally, when it comes to cycling, something like post-cycle therapy to, as Steve said, get your hepto going again. Arguably solidifying any gains or losses, depending on your particular target. So muscle gain, fat loss, whatever. Getting used to new body weight, whether that's higher or lower, leaner or more muscular, and then basically allowing your body to completely and fully recuperate in terms of natural testosterone levels coming back almost to or ideally to normal, and then so on and so forth before you decide to do a cycle again. Now, we've done on other shows how many cycles you could do a year, combinations of orals and injectables, and so on and so forth. So be sure to check those out as well, where we come to the subject at a completely different angle. The angle here is obviously going to be down to whether we should have time off, the reasons why we recommend certain time periods, and so on and so forth. With TRT, I tend to take the view that proper TRT, whether that's via an endocrinologist or a clinic, or your GP or your MD in the States, should, in the great normal scheme of things, be arguably for life. It should be as late in life as possible, so on and so forth. And I'm going to try and keep these explanations fairly short so we can get into the actual topic today. We do see, and we have covered this on our other shows with regards to fertility, which I recommend you listen to, the idea of long-term, low-dose use in the variations that Steve just described for TRT, typically a lower amount, replacing your natural testosterone levels, which the longer you're on TRT, the harder it becomes to recover. And ideally, really, you're doing it because your testosterone levels have fallen off, whether that's for cycling, age, stress, or so on. Again, covered on other shows. And realistically, Steve, you're not really supposed to come back off. You're not, but we've seen this on the fertility shows where people that perhaps have gone on TRT a little bit earlier than realistically they should have done. And again, this is based on the science, the feedback, studies, and their own personal recommendations, and then suddenly decided that they need to sort of almost try to get their own natural fertility levels back to normal, get a few more sperm going than perhaps they had for a long time by less than a million, zero in some rare cases, and try to have a kid before it's too late. And again, there are arguments for and against, but for the most part, TRT, to my mind, and this is just for a very simple approach, is for life. So the idea that you might need to take time off TRT, in my mind, is was you on what we realistically think of as TRT, or was you just blasting and cruising? And I'll just do very simple explanations for those as well before we get into the whole concepts of time on, off, etc., etc. So blasting is essentially doing a cycle. And cruising is doing more than TRT, but a lot less than you would normally run on cycle. And I'll touch upon that last part, which I've talked to Steve in the pre-show about, which is we see cruising, the sort of higher than TRT, lower than cycle amounts done quite often by a lot of guys that struggle with the muscle gained on cycle and retaining as much of that muscle between cycles, and so as much for their mental well-being as well as their physical, they kind of almost have to stay on at this relatively low dose. I'm going to say see circa 300, 400 milligrams a week, with the idea of retaining muscle tissue. I've touched upon this on Evolutionary on the forums, and talked about, and again very briefly, changing your training methodology to retain the stimulated muscle that you gained on cycle. Retaining as much as possible, i.e., keeping as much of your gains as possible, and obviously your diet. I suspect there's a mental aspect to it, Stephen, that you look hench, you look beefy, you've got, had fantastic gains on cycle, and it's really hard in an almost sort of, on a slightly tongue-in-cheek, sexy kind of way, but also psychologically to sort of let that go. And so then the idea that the steroids was the main reason you got that muscle, and therefore a must cruise, use a relatively high dose TRT kind of stuff to retain that muscle. I suspect it's combination thereof. I would argue, and I think Steve and I could both agree on this before we move on, that for the most amount of years up to my recent going on TRT at age 59, I'm 60 as we do this show, I always had time off. And I've gained a few pounds every year for the 45 years that I've been training. And the idea that I couldn't keep my muscle tissue or I couldn't keep my gains is obviously patently untrue. So it's a combination of factors, Steve, self-image, dysmorphia, liking how you feel when you're on, and so on and so forth. But what we're going to try and deal with today is more specifically what we would argue is the traditional protocol, which is going on a cycle, running the cycle, hitting the target that you was up for, which is getting ripped, adding muscle, getting stronger, whatever you took the PEDs for, and then trying to recover as much as possible from either a cycle or, as we would touch upon, going on long-term TRT and then suddenly decided for whatever reason that you need to come off. And the whole time scales and the literally hundreds of thousands of people that have done this over the last 50, 60 years, Steve, but especially in the last 20 or 30 years, as concepts have changed and protocols have changed, and the reasons why we recommend certain things and the time scales involved, etc. So let's move on, and I'll bring Steve back into the whole time between
Yeah.
cycles. So give me
So
your kind
before
of
we get, yeah.
explanation for what you think. Yeah, go on.
So before we get to that, I want to bring in a couple bodybuilders that have passed away. One of which was Dallas McCarver. He passed away in his mid-20s. And then another guy was Rich Piana, who passed away in his mid-40s. And they both passed away because they abused steroids in combination with existing medical issues that a lot of times they ignore
Yes.
because they, and you mentioned body dysmorphia, you mentioned bigorexia, whatever the psychological definition you want to make, these guys both had a couple things in common. They refused to take a step back. They wanted
Yes.
to take a step forward and have linear progression forever.
Yep.
And when you
Forever,
do
yeah.
that, and when you do that, you're ending gonna end up, it's not gonna work because the body cannot handle that type of stress
No.
and that type of effect. So what ends up happening is guys like Rich Piana and Dallas McCarver, they will actually stay on year round, minimum of 500 milligrams or 1,000 or even 1,500 milligrams a week of gear, and they'll blast grams of gear during a blast, and then they'll cruise on what that is considered to them a low amount. And what ends up happening is it basically starts taking time off your life. And it gets to the point where, your body just can't handle it and your body just shuts down. So this is an example in both of them of what can occur when you do this type of steroid abuse. It will take time off your life. So it's important to think about this after this podcast and make a decision on where do you want to go. We're going to talk about, that in a second.
Yeah, I think the average Joe, Steve, and again, I'm typifying our listeners when I say this, our demographic. It's sexy, it's fun, it gets you traction. We've done shows on similar topics, including talking about Dallas McCarver and Rich Piana. Absolutely, we've done shows on those things. But the reality of the situation is we've got a good idea of how long people like to work out for. We know the demographic in terms of the age. That people go to the gym and work out and want to look muscular, want to look great for the beach, want to look in shape, kick ass in their job, kick ass at college, kick ass in their sport. And the great and re the reality of the situation, I don't care how influenced you are by some Instagram influence or social media or Facebook or YouTube or whatever else, the reality is our approach when we're younger and the gung-ho approach that we might have when we're younger. And the fun way that this can come across when you're reading about it online, et cetera, will fucking change. And I'm reminded of the phrase, I think Steve was hunting towards it, you have one life and one body. When they start doing brain transplants into a healthy physique, people might really push the envelope, Steve. But as it is, you are literally one life and one body. and how you feel when you're gung-ho and I don't give a damn and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, 25, 27, 30, 35, changes. It just does. And it's, the idea of being monstrously strong, monstrously muscular, looking like the next Mr. Olympia freak, or just looking great for the beach is super appealing. And again, Steve and I have been there. So without sounding too preachy, you do not want to be in a situation where you are infertile if you want to have children. You do not want to be in a situation where, I think Steve's talked about this on other shows, you are on dialysis. You do not want to be in a situation where you have to take other medication. I will say, and this is just a sort of a more positive way of looking at things as well, Steve, we're talking about PEDs here, cycling steroids. There's a great many other illnesses and medications and other things we can do in life which come just with as many, if not more, risk factors involved that can affect your health, whether that's recreational drugs or alcohol, lifelong depression, serious medical illnesses, cancers, and so on and so forth, and even the medications you have to take for those situations, for those things that come with side effects themselves. And so we are focusing on one aspect, and that's because we're trying to give you as best as possible a responsible, long-term view that we think will benefit you in terms of your gains, your cycling, and so on and so forth. And here's one massive advantage that might come out of that, Steve. Instead of perhaps the average time scale and pushing the envelope with PEDs, how about being muscular and lean relative to your age for your life? How about being able to go to the gym for 20 or 30 years and look good versus 5 years of pushing the envelope and so on and so forth? So, yeah, right. Time off between cycles. I'm going to sort of paraphrase this a little bit, Steve, with what we would typify the rules such as they are. And I say rules, listeners, because we can argue, debate through a whole show, the whole time scales. But here's what we've genuinely been accepted for the longest possible time, with some little side comments at the same time. So typically, let's take an 8-week oral cycle, just as an example. If you come onto Evolutionary and you search for time off, PCT, etc., you will come across guidelines like, the time off should be your PCT, that's your post-cycle therapy, recovering, trying to get back to normal endocrine, blood values, testosterone levels, and so on and so forth, or as close as possible to where they was before, and then the length of the cycle. So let's say, for argument's sake, just a typical post-cycle therapy protocol might be 3, 4, 5 weeks, Steve, and then the 8 weeks that you were on cycle. So that means that you've done an 8-week cycle with the PCT included, you're looking at roughly 12 to 13 weeks before you should even begin to consider going back on cycle. And that's if you want to, versus, for example, your aims and your aspirations. The same thing would apply whether it was a 20-week cycle of injectables. You still need to do the PCT and would still want to take, again, 20 weeks, arguably, to recover. And there's reasons for that. So talk about, for example, Steve, clearances of esters and half-lives as a reason for these timescales that we've talked about. And again, it will depend on the steroids you're taking, the length of the cycle, the fact that you might be stacking steroids, et cetera, et cetera.
So let me get into this. A big problem that people run into is they don't understand that steroids have esters attached, which allow them to linger for a long time. So the esters that are attached prevent the need to inject every few hours to keep them in your system. That's obviously, you know, imagine being on TRT the rest of your life and having to inject every 2 to 3 hours, having to get up in the middle of the night to inject 2, 3 times a night. That's just not doable. So they attach these esters to allow you the ability to inject more infrequently. So you inject more infrequently. You're not microdosing. So that gives you the benefit of injecting once a week for the rest of your life, or once every 10 days, or once every 2 weeks, or once every 3 weeks, depending on which ester you're using. So that makes sense. And that makes it convenient for the user. So on the flip side, when you're using these longer esters, you got to be aware that when you come off of them, it can take many weeks to be out of your system. It will take many weeks to be out of your system. For example, the most popular ester out there, testosterone cypionate, which Eurapharma has an excellent testosterone cypionate. Why is it so popular? because it's smooth to inject. It doesn't cause post-injection pain very often with people. I'm very prone to post-injection pain, and I've used the Eurofarma testosterone cypionate, and it was very smooth for me. But here's the thing: when you're using testosterone cypionate, and let's say you go 10 weeks and you stop injecting it, don't think the next day it's going to be out of your system, or the next week, or the next 2 weeks. It's going to be in your system for another 6 weeks. You got to take the half-life and multiply it by five. So if something has a half-life of 10 days, it's going to take 50 days to be out of your system. It just doesn't go out of your system overnight. So this means that your HPTA, your reproductive system, your pituitary glands, is still going to be suppressed, not just for the 10 weeks that you're on, but also for that 6 weeks that it takes to clear your system. So that's a 16 weeks situation where your pituitary glands are dormant. So you cannot count technically time off until it's actually out of your system. So a big mistake people make is they'll run a 10-week or 12-week cycle, then they'll come off for 4 weeks, then they'll be like, "Well, I'm all recovered, so I'm gonna hop back on steroids." Or they'll run a PCT for 4 weeks and be like, "Oh, I'm recovered, I'm gonna hop back on steroids. I feel great." It doesn't work like that. You've got to give it time to even be out of your system. So time off, in my view, doesn't even count until the steroids are out of your system. So you got to make that calculation and take the half-life, multiply it by four or five. And that's the amount of time you were actually on. So I'll give you an example. When I ran Sustanon and Deca, that was my first injectable cycle. And at the time, there wasn't much knowledge out there. So I had to learn this myself, because people on forums or people in person, whatever, they didn't know this. But I was making gains 4 or 5 weeks after my last injection of the Sustanon and Deca. Why? Because they both are long esters. They both are
Yes.
in your system for a long time after you stop. So I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, "Wow, this is amazing. I'm still making gains, blah, blah, blah." Then once we got to week seven, week eight, then the crash hit. And then I was like, "Wow." I went from having all this gear in my system to now not having any gear in my system, and that's when the crash hit, and that's where the PCT comes into play to give you that soft landing. And at the time, I didn't really understand this. And what happens a lot of times too, you'll see people say, "Oh, run this so and so steroid for 12 weeks and do a 4 week PCT and then see where you're at." And then what happens is you're running that PCT so short that by the time the PCT is over, 2 weeks later, then you crash. So you ran that PCT too early. That was stupid. You should have ran it during the point where the hormones are crashing out of your system. That's when you need the PCT. So in my case, I made the mistake of listening to the wrong people who gave really bad advice. And I ran my PCT too early and I ran it too short, where it wasn't even in my system when I really needed it. So that's a big thing that you have to correct if you're going to follow this and really want to cycle off correctly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this idea, and I think what happens sometimes is like I said, people get very happy with the muscle they've gained, the fat loss they've had, and so on and so forth. There's an element of sometimes the psychological in terms of how you feel when you're on testosterone, and how goddamn awful you can feel if your PCT is poor, your time off is poor, and so on and so forth. And again, as I said earlier, I'm touching upon the retention of muscle that's gained, the fat that's lost, and so on and so forth. One of the better, more useful tips is arguably Steve, and Steve's got more information on this than I have. And that is if you want a true indication of where you are, how you've recovered, and so on and so forth, we are going to say blood tests. We talk about pre-cycle blood tests, on-cycle blood tests, and post-cycle blood tests, but specifically in this case, have I fully recovered? If you're looking at fertility, you might be looking at sperm count as well. So, for example, in this situation, Steve, you come off cycle, you've run a PCT, you've had as much time off as possible. Before you decide to run the next cycle, let's have a proper look at where you are. Let's see exactly where your blood values are. And then obviously you'd be focusing in this example, Steve, on any of the things relating to your body's ability to produce natural testosterone. I think there's an argument to be made. And again, this is because Steve and I have done this ourselves, certainly in the past, in my example. Because you and I never run crazy high dosages, certainly in comparison with some of the cycles that we see out there, didn't have too dramatic a uptick in how we felt on cycle versus too dramatic a downtick in terms of how we felt off cycle. I'll use myself as an example, Steve, that I would get a lift in my libido, but it wasn't crazy dramatic. It was just I knew noticed a difference on cycle versus off. My off cycle was typically similar to what it had been pre that cycle or pre the last cycle, and so on and so forth. So in other words, I kind of returned back to normal. I never had too much of an issue, for example, and this might just be my genetics, might be Steve's genetics. I never noticed a massive difference in testicle size, you know, the whole thing doing crazy amounts, shrinks your balls versus, you know, bumping your balls up post-cycle and so on and so forth. So it wasn't too much of a head fuck. And I think they also done a little bit of research, even way back in the day, Steve. So we're talking about age 37 till now. So pre-age 37, looking at some of the stuff that was being talked about by the various gurus who are out there, in my head, one of my sort of clever thoughts was where they differed was what they thought, and where they agreed was probably the more factual. So I was lucky in that particular regards. You know, I saw if they agreed about cycles and cycle lengths, that was probably based on their experience of coaching people and giving client information and so on and so forth. Where they differed would be personal theories. And the problem is, and we're actually going to do a show on the whole AI concept of creating cycles with AI and ChatGPT and whatever else. The problem was quite often you were dealing with people's personal experiences versus, for example, let's just use Steve as an example right now. How many blood tests have you looked at, Steve, to get a true image of a client or members of the forum and to get a proper idea of what's going on in their bodies? And talk about the importance, perhaps, of using actual blood tests to get the actual reality of what's going on in terms of recovery.
And this kind of segues into our next topic. Should we take time off TRT? And look, TRT is a huge decision to make. So once you go on TRT, it's going to be hard to ever come back. And speaking of blood work, I've seen tons of blood work over the years from guys who have been on steroids for a long period of time, 6 months, yep. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, etc.
Yep. Yep.
And who've made the decision of coming off. You know, I changed my mind. I don't want to be on TRT. I'm sick of injecting every week. My wife wants a baby, whatever.
Yes.
And what ends up happening is they attempt to come off, but it's not that easy to come off. And they fail at their recovery process because they made that decision to go on TRT and they weren't fully mature yet to make that lifelong commitment. So once you make that commitment to do TRT, you really should stick with it. But there are certain instances where you can take time off TRT, but you're just not going to likely recover your HPTA. You're not going to recover your pituitary glands the way you want to. And so what would be a reason to come off TRT? I would say if your kidney numbers and your heart numbers, and your liver numbers are really, really out of whack, and you really, your red blood cell count was really crazy, your hematocrit was really crazy, where your blood was thickening, it might be in your best interest to just come off the TRT, just to get your organs to catch up, because they're taking a beating. And
there might be something, just to jump in here, Steve, there might be, and this is important for the listeners to understand, we're talking about quote unquote healthy individuals. We're not talking about people perhaps with underlying medical illnesses or ailments, other conditions, etc., which might affect them in a different way. We're not talking about people that have gone massively out of shape, gained loads of fat, lost loads of muscle. So you must understand what we talk about these things. It's more along the lines of this person still trains, this person still trying to be healthy. If there's other stuff going on, that's going to affect your reasons for perhaps coming off TRT. If you've got a medical condition, if the side effects of prescribed drugs affect you in a particular way, these will affect your decision making. They will say, I need to come off because of X, Y, and Z. It's not that I want to. I love training. I like going to the gym. I've got to do it because of this. I've got to do it because I'm having this treatment. I've got to do this because I'm on these medications. So it's an oversimplification, but we're trying to keep it simple because it becomes incredibly complicated if we start to deal with other things going on at the same time. But these other things occur. Life happens. The classic example, just to sort of reiterate something I said earlier on, and Steve's touched upon this already. Use the example in the past of Joe. Joe loves to train. Joe loves how his physique looks. Joe decides to use steroids. And Joe's somewhere between 25 and 35 years of age. And the younger he is, the harder it is for Joe, and this applies to Jane, John, or whoever. It's harder for them to conceptualize meeting the one, wanting to have kids with the one, wanting to have a family. When Joe's 25, 18 to 25, Steve, he wants to, and I'm again, I am generalizing when I say that he wants to fuck everything, live free and easy. And Joe is very much of the, I'm old enough, I'm ugly enough, it's my body, I'll do what I like. And of course, absolutely, Joe, you can go ahead and do those things. But we say again and again and again, I've seen too many examples in the 45 years that I've been training and the last, since probably 35 years that I've been online, of people like Joe coming back and saying, I know what I said when I was 25, Steve, but 35, she's amazing. I can't imagine not having children with her. I can't imagine this, and I can't imagine that. He couldn't even imagine when he was 25 not training and not wanting to have an amazing body and so on and so forth. And he can't imagine these other things in life that might come along. And so therefore, the idea that coming off a TRT for fertility reasons, for having kids, for the other reasons I've just described, doesn't occur to them until much later. It's typically 10 years, Steve, where I've seen the difference from the beginning. Super keen, don't care, gung ho, let's go for it. One life, who gives a fuck? To the more responsible, more mature, shit's happened, life experiences, met the one, want to have kids, and regrets perhaps some of the decisions, not just steroid, but other things made when you were younger versus later on. We could talk about people's issues with alcohol and recreational drugs and don't give a damn when you're younger, live fast, die young, go out in a ball of flames versus 10 years down the road, way more mature, way more experienced, and the concepts are something else. So I'm very much of the ilk, and I say this again because I'm an older person and took the longest time before I made the TRT decision. In my mind, and I'm actually using slightly more than the medicated or prescribed levels of 200 milligrams per month, say versus 90 to 120 that Steve talked about.
Per week, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, but per week. I'm very much of the, for me, my mindset is if I'm going to go on TRT, TRT is for the rest of my life. There have to be a serious medical issue, like I've touched upon, that I would not use it for. So for my mind, and again, because I'm 60, the very idea of having more kids, I've got grandchildren and a daughter who's over 30, the idea of having more kids is incredibly unlikely. I can't, I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not going to have 17 kids just because I can. The fact that I'm probably going to train until they nail the lid on my coffin, at least that's what I would like to happen. I have no ongoing other medical issues or ailments. So therefore, 200 milligrams once a week for the rest of my life, I can't see that being a problem for me. And again, that's me as an individual. So we have to sort of generalize when we come across with some of these things when we say this stuff. But again, there might be some reasons why you need to come off TRT. But if you're thinking, I'll do TRT for 5 years and I come off, I'm going to suggest perhaps that you might need to either rename it or think of it in a different way, because to my mind, TRT should be arguably, realistically, the way that it was prescribed before for the rest of your life, unless it's medical science, and it would be lovely if this was true, Steve. Some combination of peptides, etc., would allow you to use steroids, low dosage TRT levels for years, and then allow you to come off and sort of kickstart you in some magical way that we don't yet understand. That would be fabulous. But
And
as it
when
is, as we do the show, it doesn't exist, not in that particular way. We could talk about some of the protocols involved, etc., perhaps on another show.
you do go, I get first dibs on your home gym.
Or one of the members on the forum said this, suggested my little stash here that I'm kind of building up for various cycles, anti-RT, etc., was spilling out of one of my desk drawers, and they said first dibs on your spillover. Whatever you don't need, mobster, can I have it? So yeah, certainly, Steve. If I haven't gone, mate, you're more than welcome. You've got all that work to shift all that stuff around. It's hard work.
I'll
Get
take
in,
your
get in there.
magazine collection too. I'll probably
That
send them.
too. Ah,
I
that you
sell
might
them.
have to fight my daughter for. There's a
Oh,
pension
okay. I'll sell them on eBay. Get some
Oh,
nice
please.
money.
Yeah. You should get
So,
a full forty or
yeah.
$50,000 out of that.
So seriously, before we move on, look, at the end of the day, look, it's your body, it's your choice. If you want to make that
Yes.
decision,
You
Dallas
need to
McCarver,
understand the choices. Yes.
Dallas McCarver died, really, 26 years old. I mean, his parents had to bury him. Boston Lloyd, same thing. He left behind a wife and daughter. So at the
Yes.
end of the day, you gotta think about the people that the other people that are gonna hurt. You're not gonna hurt. You're gonna be dead. I mean,
You're
but I mean
dead, you don't care.
the other people are gonna be hurt. And that's a decision that you have to make. So we gotta make sure. If you do go down that route, you're aware of that. Make sure you have a nice will in place and make sure that you have beneficiaries on your account, because that's probably what's going to end up happening if you shorten your lifespan like that. But there is a safer way to do it. So we're going to go over some different scenarios here. We're talking about the best Eurapharma options for cycling, TRT, and cruising. So let me start off with, before I bring in Monster, let's talk about the testosterone options that Eurapharma has. So they have everything. They have everything from testosterone suspension, testosterone propionate, the E, the SIP, the Sustanon, the longer esters. They have everything. So if you go and check them out, they have you covered. But the two most popular esters of testosterone that people like to use when they're cruising or on TRT, or even as a base of their cycle, would be testosterone cypionate and testosterone enanthate. And we know this based on the polling. We know this by the sales data that I've seen. Over the years, that's been kind of leaked to me. And these are the top two sellers. And if you want to go the TRT route, you could start with 80 to 125 milligrams a week, or you could go a little higher if you wanted to get more aggressive, like Mobster is doing. If you want to cruise, cycle or cruise, you can go from anywhere from 200, 300 milligrams a week or more. 500 milligrams seems to be a nice moderate dose of testosterone for most people. Some people go higher, 750. Most I've ever done was 750. I didn't see any difference between 750 and 500, except a little more side effects and a little more water retention. So for me, I like 500 max. And then really, I like to keep my testosterone lower when I'm stacking other steroids with it. Also, before I bring in you, Mobster, for some ideas, Eurapharma has excellent options for between cycle ancillaries and for even on cycle ancillaries. So they have the ACG, the HMG, which are peptides. They have the
Yes.
Novodex and Clomid, which are SERMs. And they have the aromatase inhibitors, the AIs, like Aromacin, Arimidex, et cetera, even Letro. So they have you covered. So whether you want to do, the ancillaries on cycle, it's PCT, between cycles, you want to take a time off, whatever you want to do, Eurapharma has you covered. They have excellent products. So Mobster, I'll bring you in for a couple ideas, and then I'll talk about some more ideas after you're done.
So I'm 100% on side with I'm 100% on side with Steve when it comes to the Cyprianate. That's my TRT PED of choice. 1 mil, 200 milligrams per week from now to doomsday, hopefully. And as Steve says, super smooth, goes in no problems whatsoever. That's real fruit simple, real straightforward. And I'll just say this: I train in the mornings at my local gym. It's an older crowd, 50 plus. But the majority, there are people in their mid-60s, late-60s, early-70s, and late-70s. And I know who's taking what because we're mature gentlemen having those conversations. And I would argue that Steve said between 120 and 200 milligrams is typical. Indeed, I've helped people by giving them a jab, Steve. So I know precisely what they're fucking taking because I've assisted them in doing so. Enanthate is another option, absolutely, Steve. Similar dosage again. The whole ester half-life is massively debatable, but for the most part, cypionate and enanthate very, very close. And it literally comes down to personal choice as to what you like. And I've described on other shows that on cycle I've used Inanfate when my buddies were using Inanfate from the same source. And for a cycle, for strength, for muscle gaining, etc., they loved it and I didn't get much from it. Whereas I can see me in the future, Steve, and this just comes down to availability as much as anything else, using Inanfate for TRT because I'm not looking to be get any more muscular or any bigger than I currently am. And I do quite well with just 200 milligrams in between stuff. In terms of cycles, and here's the thing, and I'm going to do this from the base, the idea of being on TRT. So arguably, Steve, because I am replacing my testosterone levels and will do for as long as possible, by the rest of my life, there's no requisite sort of needing to be off for a certain period of time. So I could arguably do multiple cycles per year. However, the ability for my body to gain muscle at my age, or any age indeed, requires certain methodology of training and nutritional differences between what I weighed before and what I weigh after, whether that's fat loss or muscle gain. So, for example, I tend to try to peak in terms of my physical strength now once or twice a year. I have certain personal aspirations in the gym. I'd like to squat a grand, Steve, doing the Hatfield squat. I got very, very close to that late last year, early this year. So the idea that perhaps I might still have in my 60-year-old ass, maybe a 455 kilo, 1,000 pound Hatfield squat gets me a reason to get out of bed in the morning and go kick ass in the gym. I'm still doing stupid, crazy shit compared to most people. And the idea that perhaps I might do that would encourage me to take, as per usual, and regular listeners will know, I've used Deca from Europharmacies and Sustanon from Europharmacies multiple times over the last several years. I go back to probably the mid early 2000s when I would gain ridiculous amounts of tissue on cycle. I wasn't trying to keep that tissue off cycle, but I would go from 280 to 300, as I've told listeners before. More recently, there's no real great advantage for me getting much bigger, but it's the Susta and Deca combination from Europharmacies still allows me to peak strength. And I deliberately train in such a way that I'm getting towards a peak of strength and then allow the PEDs on cycle to carry me for the next 3 to 4 weeks to the absolute maximum, highest peak I can possibly get this year or on that training program. So those things work for me incredibly well. I've also used multiple steroids, orals from Europharmacies again. I'm a big fan of Anavar, 4 to 8 weeks, 50 milligrams a day as a strength enhancer for me again. I've used D-Bol multiple times in the past and it worked. It was incredibly effective, very straightforward, Steve. Very simple cycles, 4 to 8 weeks again, 30 to 50 milligrams. I would probably, for me, 30 milligrams every day for 4 to 8 weeks has been absolutely fine in terms of muscle size, the feel good pumps, etc. From that and so on and so forth. And look, we know people will use Prop, they'll use Tren, use various other steroids, all of which are available from Europharmacies in different combinations. So definitely come onto the forums and check out how people approach different things. For example, Steve and I do not have the same aims when we go to the gym. I am all about maximal strength. For me, muscle's almost a side bonus. But a lot of our listeners and a lot of members of the forum are about getting ripped, getting lean. So they're looking at Winstrol, they're looking at EQ, they will look at shorter esters. We could talk about, as a side concept, but we're going to do another show on this soon, the whole microdosing, multiple injections, an injection every single day. Even at TRT, Steve, I've seen people microdose TRT every single day. And there's lots of concepts behind it. I don't think the science necessarily backs it up, but we're going to argue that on another show, and so on and so forth. But we're giving you very simplistic, straightforward suggestions for cycles that we've done, the reason why we do them, and we know what works. I think that's the great advantage we have here in terms of personal experience. What made me big? What made me strong? What made me more muscular? And didn't need to be crazy. I pushed. My most recent cycle, again, Sustanon and Deca, Steve, with the change the last year or two of Provarum as a means of boosting the free testosterone, in other words, getting more out of the cycle. And in combination, the total milligrams per week for a very short period of time was gone as high, and for me, it was high 1.6 and 1,600 milligrams total, and that's the Sustanon and Deca and Provarin in total. And as Steve said, I didn't see any boost above the previous, which I think was around a 1,200 milligram completely combined. Previous cycles to that had not included Provarin for one reason or another, and were circa 900, 700 to 900 milligrams. And again, some of those cycles I've got absolutely amazing fucking gains of back in the day, Steve. And I think it's just a case of me seeing if I got better gains with slightly more, or needing ever so slightly more than I'd previously done in order to get similar gains. And again, I've been training a very, very long time, and you're looking at what we're looking at is these 28 years of various cycles. So I've had plenty of time to sort of work out what works for me, get an idea of where those dosages are. So again, when we give somebody suggestions and we talk about your pharmacy's products, we're trying to give you a sort of overview. If you come onto the forums, and specifically to for this subject, come onto the forums and talk about your cycles, talk about TRT and PCT, and talk about your specific aims, you will see multiple different ways of doing things. But you'll generally find, again, it's like what I said when I was talking about the gurus back in the day, Steve. Most people use EQ for this. Most people use Winstrol for that. Most people use testosterone for this. So, for example, as Steve said, and I'll just finish on this, Steve, the popularity of 300 to 500 milligrams of testosterone in its various forms as a base for a cycle, and we've argued you don't even need to do that, but how many pounds, tons of muscle, just here in the UK, tens of tons this year alone, Steve, has been done with a very simple 300 to 500 milligrams a week of testosterone. The same thing could be said of very simple approaches with Dynabol. It can feel complicated and it can feel overwhelming. We try to keep things simple on these shows. It's little bits and pieces of personal experience that can qualify that a little bit, but we try to keep things in a fairly simple approach because, in the great and vast majority of examples, what we said applies to the majority of our listeners. It applies to the majority of times. It's that sort of statistical average. So, yeah, listen, combinations of products. I like the fact that, Steve, I'm just looking at Europharmacy is one of the resellers, as Steve said. They've got Dick drugs, which would be useful again, both on cycle and in the PCT, as we recover. They've been doing 15 mil vials, 10 mil vials. There's a bunch of ancillaries that can be useful. Steve mentioned some AIs earlier on. Absolutely, whether you're using is on or off cycle. And listen to also our shows on testosterone boosters. I think, Steve, as part of your PCT, there's a very good, I'm going to recommend this now as well, Steve, a fantastic, I believe in excess of 100 plus pages, thousands upon thousands of hits, if not tens of thousands of hits, a PCT sticky. You can might talk about that a little bit, Steve. That's on Evolutionary for listeners to come and check out.
Yeah, and if you want to do a PCT, you can definitely come on evolution.org, check out that thread, and you'll get a good blueprint on how to do a PCT. So let's go over a few more ideas for you. I'm also mentioned some of his thoughts, but let's say you want to do a blast and cruise and you want to do more of a cutting or hardening stack. Primobolan or Masteron from Eurofarma would be fantastic. You can run them both anywhere from 300 to 500 milligrams a week with the testosterone. And another option too, let's say you want to go and do more of a increase of a bulking, you can go with Deca or Equipoise, as Mobster mentioned. And Deca is great for bulking because of the appetite increase. And Equipoise, you can do everything in Equipoise. You can cut, you can recomp, you can bulk. A lot of guys like to do a nice lean bulk on Equipoise, as they call it. And if you want to get more aggressive, here's one for you, the Europharmacy's Trenbolone. And they have different Trenbolone options. They have every Trenbolone option, including acetate and Enanthate, which are the two most popular. So you can blast with that. Let's say you just want to do a 6 or 7 week blast with Tren on top of your initial base steroid cycle that you're cruising on. You can blast with some Tren for 6 or 7 weeks. Tren Ace, it's in and out of your system quicker. You can also blast with Tren Enethei if you want to do a little longer, maybe 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and go on from that. So those are different options for you. And then when it comes to orals, you wanted to say something, Mobster? Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, Steve, and I've actually seen this as a suggestion. We've talked about cycling and PCT time off. One suggestion was doing a cycle of steroids, anabolic steroids, taking a PCT and time off, and then almost a mild in-between approach using SARMs, PCT, mini PCT, and shorter time off the SARMs before, again, using anabolic steroids. So talk about some of Europharmacy's SARMs that could be used in that approach, just as an example for the listeners.
Yeah, and some of the SARMs you can use even in PCT, like the GW, the Nutrabol, the SR, those aren't suppressive. So you could go that route, or you could go with LGD or RAD even. So there's different options for sure that they have. But let me go over some of the orals. And some of the oral options from Eurofarma are really good. You can blast 4 to 6 weeks at a time during your, if you're cruising, and then you can go ahead and blast the orals and then go back to your cruise. And that actually would be a little more pressure on the liver in a lot of cases, but actually not be as much pressure on your kidneys and on your heart health because it's more in and out of your system quick. You're doing only 4 to 6 weeks versus going 10, 12, 14 weeks, you see, and having to deal with those esters, clearance esters. The orals are in and out of your system much, much quicker. So you could go with popular options. The top four popular ones that Eurofarmacies has is Dianabol, of course, which is great for bulking. Anadrol, which is also great for bulking and hardening. And then you can go with Winstrol and Anavar for cutting, hardening, and recomposition. So those are really good options that you can kind of play around with. And a nice thing about the orals is that if you're not liking what's happening after a couple of weeks, you can always just stop them. They'll be out of your system within a few days, within a week. They'll be all out of your system, and you won't be putting so much pressure on your organs going that way. So there's so many different ways that you can approach this. I mean, my goodness, Europharmacy, they just have it all on their website, and they have different options. So you can come on the forum to find out where you can get Europharma products, evolutionary.org, and we would love to see some touchdown pictures from those of you who try these different strategies that we've talked about. But at the end of the day, as we said earlier in the podcast, blood work is crucial. Keeping track of your blood pressure is crucial. You've got to make sure that you're keeping your organs healthy because you don't want to end up putting so much pressure where you're taking time and time and time off of your life. So it really boils down to that, I think, when it comes to being able to pull something like this off. And then, worst comes to worst, like the title of this podcast, time between cycles, time between steroids, whatever you want to call it, taking time away will allow your body a chance to recover in the end. So it's really, really good to do that. It's kind of like fasting. You just give
Let
your
me
gut
touch
a
on that a little bit, Steve,
all right.
before we talk about Europharmacies as a company. So, look, a lot of what we talk about comes from years of experience. It comes from talking to or addressing a subject thousands upon thousands of times. We talk about, as Steve's just reiterated, the super importance of blood tests to get a true idea of what's going on. I've played around with the concept of like for like when it comes to orals and injectables. Arguably, as an example, orals would allow you shorter time on, shorter time off, quicker recovery, and therefore the ability perhaps to do more cycles with orals per year. And again, this is on a milligram from per milligram risk versus reward basis compared to, say, injectable steroids and longer esters. One of the things I was thinking as Steve was just talking is you must, arguably, Steve, learn to listen to your body in terms of knowing how you feel when you are completely recovered, knowing how, whether that's in terms of your sex life, your desire to procreate, so to speak, your ability to fuck as much as possible versus what it was like before. Understanding and looking out for signs of ill health in terms of whether that would be jaundice or dry skin or being overly tired, darker urine, and so on and so forth. And again, we talk about some of these things, not to be too negative, but literally so that a person that's been training a while knows how fantastic they feel when their nutrition's on point, when they're feeling strong as fuck, when they're feeling muscular, knows has always a very good experience and idea of how they feel when they're using steroids versus when they're not, starts to learn to listen to their body. And I encourage this in a way, as so far as that you can do the blood test, you can take some of the other suggestions we've had. Ultimately, you've got to understand, and let me just use this as an example. I've done it on other shows. It's the idea of thinking of your body as a sports car, which it should be. You are supposed to be highly tuned because you are training, because you are eating well, organically, grass-fed beef, locally sourced products from farms and suppliers and so on and so forth, versus processed foods. And you will notice a difference when you train, when you go jogging, when you do fitness, how you feel when you're doing those things versus when you do not. You enjoy that. You like feeling fit. You like feeling strong. You like feeling vital. You like feeling healthy. How you feel when you're using steroids versus when you're not. And so on and so forth. So start to listen to your body, become in tune with it to get the best out of it. And if you use a sports car analogy, you're not going to spend too much time on circle because that might arguably like revving your engine. It might be like using a higher octane fuel than perhaps has been prescribed for your car. It might be like using cheaper oils versus more expensive oils to lubricate the engine, and so on and so forth. And you want, if it was a sports car, and we've used this idea concept before, Steve, if it was a genuine sports car, let's say a fantastic Ferrari or Lamborghini or such, that you'd spent 100,000, if not multiples of hundreds of thousands of dollars buying, you would look after it better than sometimes we do our bodies. And so therefore, if we treat ourselves as though we were a high-end sports car, we wouldn't rev the engine 24/7 for days at a time, knowing full well that would ruin the engine. We wouldn't drive it flat out all the time, knowing full well at some point the car would overheat. We wouldn't leave the brakes until the last minute. We would replace the pads, we would replace the disc, we'd have good sets of tires on, and we need to treat our bodies in such the same way. But at the same time, when we're using PEDs, we're enhancing what we do. So the concept, the idea, the suggestion of coming off cycle, of doing a full PCT, of allowing the body to fully recover, or at least being informed as to what TRT means, what blasting and cruising means you can make better decisions about how you're treating your body. And if you treat it like a sports car, you would treat it with, you'd be able to rev it, you'd be able to drive it fast, T, from time to time. You'd be able to look massively muscular for years at a time, look lean compared to the average population, feel fucking awesome, but at the same time, treat it with a little bit of respect so that perhaps that might not mean blasting and cruising. It might mean taking time off between cycles. It might mean making those decisions. It might just mean thinking about your fertility for the future. And so we hopefully want to inform you in that particular way. I want to talk briefly, Steve, about Europharmacies as a company. We talk about Europharmacies as a company purely and simply because we love what they do. Steve said it's a one-stop shop. Absolutely. I'm looking at the peptide pages, HCG, HGH, fat loss, SARMs. They have a sales tab on one of the resellers. You can go and check out bargains that they've got. Europharmacies offers injectables, it's steroids and sachets and blisters. They have, as I said earlier on, ancillaries, dick drugs, thyroid products, you name it. If you think of what most cycles consist of, Steve, then Europharmacies has got that. Let the listeners know what your thoughts are on Europharmacies before we go to the end of the show.
Yeah, and there's a reason Eurofarma, we talked about them on other episodes as well. There's a reason that professional bodybuilders use them. There's a reason that guys on the forum are using them because they trust their products. They know their products are legit. They know when they order something from them, they're getting what they want. They know that the shipping is fast. They know that there's reps on the forum to take care of you. Recently, I had a rep on the forum. I don't know, something happened to him medically. He was out for a while, and the two other reps stepped into his place, and they came in and they started answering questions on his behalf. So that just shows you they have a really good rep team. They don't go cheap. These aren't guys fly by night reps that they just hire off the street. These are guys that actually know how to take care of customers and are professional. And at the end of the day, We want a source that we can trust. We don't want a source that's fast with shipping. We want a source that has everything for us, that has products in stock, that takes care of the hard stuff. We want to be comfortable, you know? And this is what it's all about. We don't want to run a cycle and be not sure of what we're using. Every day seems like Mobster, we get questions from people. Is this gear legit? Is that gear legit? What do you think about this brand? It's like, why would you take a chance on some random brand out there which you're not sure about when you can just go?
Thousands of dollars sometimes, Steve. It's crazy. I would argue right now, and I'm thinking again of one of the resellers, some of the best prices they've ever had, ever. And I've been using their products for 6 or 7 years, perhaps more. Arguably, this is industry-wide, but specific to Europharmacies. And yet, we had an example just this week of someone at a chosen a random site I've never heard of, a source I've never heard of, and given them $2,000 for what apparently sounded like fake growth hormone. Europharmacies has tests of their products. We know their products have been independently tested. We advise the listeners to come onto the forums and just search for Europharmacies just to see myself and other people that have run logs and the success, how strong I got, how muscular someone else got, the fat loss that someone else had. Just to see how those products have given those people that particular edge and enabled them to achieve their aims and their dreams, you know, getting into the best shape of their life sometimes. Massive fat loss, best photographs ever, most muscular this person has ever been. Just things that spring to mind in the last week, never mind months and years that we're talking about here. So let us know what you think about time off. Have you stayed on year round? What do you think about TRT? Is it, as we've described it, for life? What about the whole healthy, full recovery? Is it possible? Do you disagree or agree? Come onto the forums, talk about it in the comments for the various podcasts and channels that we're on. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you think we've done a great job, please, as before, share it so that other people can learn from the information that we put out. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.